Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann. Disturbing news. Named the murder capital of South Africa and ranked ninth globally by an international report, Nelson Mandela Bay lived up to its disgraceful reputation with at least 25 people killed in the city over the past week. These grim statistics highlighted in a report authored by the Mexican Council for Public Security and Criminal Justice released earlier in March. The report's rankings placing Nelson Mandela Bay at the top of the list are based on the number of murders per 100,000 people, but only includes cities with a population of 300,000 or more. According to the findings in 2023, the Bay, with a population of more than 1.2 million people, recorded 950 murders, equating to 77.33 murders for every 100,000 residents. This placed Nelson Mandela Bay 7 spots higher than Durban and 8 spots above Cape Town. Johannesburg was ranked in 26th place only. Willem Els from the Institute of Security Studies joining us now to work our way through this news and these statistics. Willem, thank you very much for joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines. Your exact title at the Institute of Security Studies?
Good morning, Darren. Yes, I'm Willem Els. I'm a senior training coordinator and researcher at the Institute for Security Studies.
What do you make of the news? The murder capital of South Africa, Nelson Mandela Bay, ranked ninth globally.
Well, yeah, you know, compared to Cape Town, Cape Town used to be number nine. It moved a bit down, so Nelson Mandela Bay moved up again. So it's not good news for South Africa in a whole, but also not good news for your part of the world.
What are the factors driving this?
There are various factors. You know, if you look at the cities that are being affected, you see that one of the things that play a major role there is, of course, your gang violence. But being said that the gangs, you know, it's normally connected with your drug trade. And if you look at the countries countries that are being affected in this list, like Mexico and your Central American countries, and then South Africa, I think one of the links that we should not forget there is actually your drug roots.
What about policing? Is it a reflection on ineffective policing, or is that too simplistic an answer?
Well, it is simplistic, but I mean, if you look at the overall crime statistics in South Africa, that has been rising steadily for the past 10 to 15 years. You know, it's not surprising, but the challenge that you have is your violent crimes or your contact crimes that are rising so alarmingly, and of course, murders are one of them. So yeah, that is very alarming. That is just an indication that our policing system, our judicial system, is not where it is supposed to be.
What do you make of the credibility of the numbers in this report? We did approach the South African Police Service for comment. They declined the invitation and said that they were still investigating the validity and the credibility of the figures that have been released by this report. What do you make of them?
Yeah, we must understand that there are various reports surfacing and being done, where they're using different formulas and where they're definitely using different criteria when they're looking at. One thing with your problem with statistics, you know, because statistics are so easy to manipulate. One thing you have to understand is South Africa, for instance, if you underreport as a commander, then you're looking good. So they should be checking, and they are checking checks and balances where they are verifying. And I think that is one of the reasons why the police was reluctant to look at that. Your statistics are also one of the things, you know, especially in your contact crimes, your violent crimes, your sexual violent crimes, your abductions for the ransom money and all of that. It tends to be underreported. So all of that must be brought into context when you are looking at statistics and when you're doing your analysis.
Regardless of the exact methodology that was used, it's a warning light.
Of course, in any language, that's a warning light, and it doesn't show good for South Africa as a whole. You know, there are other countries, other cities that are also severely affected. I mean, in that same report, I think number 52 is Pretoria, so it's just outside of the top 50. And another city that is also mentioned in some of the other reports is Pietermaritzburg. So it doesn't look good overall for South Africa.
What do we do going forward to make sure that we arrest this decline, or have we spiraled out of control too far already?
You know, one of your pillars of a fully functional state is your law and order and the rule of law. And if that one is crumbling, you know, it brings the other pillars down very soon. So we will have to guard against that, because as we can see all around us, that our pillar of law and order is really crumbling. And that is very alarming. So first of all, you're going to have to have the political will to address that. You're going to have the correct political leadership to address that, to guide the policies and also on a strategic level. But also, we're going to need fresh blood within the police in our management, operational management, where it seems that it's defaulting us in the implementation of the strategies that are being there. South Africa is very good in developing strategies, but we're very poor in executing and implementing them.
We're in an election year, Willem. Is there anything civil society can do to pressure authorities to arrest this decline?
Of course. I'm part of civil society, and we are currently working on proposals on how to turn the ship around and how to reform the police in order to address these challenges. And one of the challenges that I think that civil society is too quiet when it comes to that. They play a major role in pressuring, but also in guiding government in terms of these policies, procedures, and to turn it around. Because the ship of the police is not going to be turned around in one day or 2 days. It's going to take some time. It's a culture that has been destroyed. It's something that has to be rebuilt. It's capacity that has to be rebuilt. It's a whole culture of policing that has been destroyed by the case, by amongst others, the state capture. That need to be restored, and for that we're going to need a more holistic approach with the involvement of course civil society and the general public, because we have to take ownership, we have to take our police back.
Last question for you: in practical terms, what can be done to restructure the police? I see the opposition have said that murder rate in Nelson Mandela Bay has increased 37% compared with the previous research period, and they've suggested bringing policing closer to communities to restore discipline and professionalism within the ranks of the SAPS. At the moment, everything seems to be directed from a national level.
Yeah, that's one of the options that we also made some suggestions on. We've got what we call a sector policing system or strategy that is being implemented. In the areas where it's been effectively implemented, it tends to work very well, but it seems that it's not implemented across board, and there are some failures from police management side to effectively implement it, but also some failures from the public side in order to embrace that concept and come closer to the police. And one of the major challenges there is the severe lack of trust between the public and the police. We will have to work on that trust, rebuilding that trust, and that can only be done if the police start to demonstrate competency, if they get closer to the public, and through their actions, through their investigations, through the outcomes of what they are doing, demonstrate their competence to the public, and that will bring the public closer to the police.
We appreciate you joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines today. Thank you for your time. Willem Els from the Institute of Security Studies. Have a good day, sir. Nelson Mandela Bay, named as the murder capital of South Africa and ranked ninth globally for cities with more than 300,000 inhabitants. Joining us now to discuss these shameful statistics, Ian Cameron. He's an independent crime analyst. Ian, thank you very much for your time. What do you make of this? It's not pleasant reading.
No, it's absolutely horrific. I think it's shocking to see Nelson Mandela Bay become such a bloodbath, to be honest. I think what's really worrying about this is the fact that it has now passed Cape Town and Durban, where traditionally those were the places, because of gang violence and so on and so forth, we generally saw these types of statistics. What's even worse is that it's now far worse than Johannesburg too. Again, one of the places that used to be a hotspot. So it goes to show that not only can criminals thrive there, but it's actually becoming a place where criminals can build a fantastic career of being exactly that, professional criminals.
Ian, you've mentioned gangs as being one of the issues that drive crime statistics when they rise like that, and it's certainly one of the major issues that are affecting this part of the world. Kidnappings and contact crimes in general have increased dramatically as well.
Yeah, so obviously when we see such a vast increase in something like murder specifically, and it's very similar to Cape Town, the gang dynamic in the Eastern Cape, specifically around Nelson Mandela Bay, When we see these types of stats, it usually indicates a drastic increase in gang violence. But one needs to understand that the most part of specific types of contact crimes, let's say, for example, armed robberies, hijackings, house robberies, business robberies too, and then you've got gang violence on the one side. Somewhere, somehow, these things are linked to each other and are intertwined. And therefore, we then see an increase. Something like kidnapping is two-pronged. Obviously, it would include kidnapping after hijackings very often. And it's a general trend in South Africa that hijackers would then abduct or kidnap their victims and then drop them off somewhere else. It's usually not ransom-related. But then also we're seeing a very worrying increase of kidnapping for ransom throughout South Africa. And all of these things that I'm mentioning indicate a worrying organized crime kind of trend. And it shows us that criminals are actually so brazen, so consequence-free that they are able to just, you know, build enterprise upon enterprise and actually do whatever they like. It's clear to me that the state doesn't really have any real control over violent crime in the country, and Nelson Mandela Bay even so much more.
So you see policing or lack of policing as one of the problems?
Yeah, certainly. We need to, we can be busy for a day if we discuss policing alone, but let's chat about policing briefly. I think, you know, something that's a major issue in the police is the current mass exodus of experienced officers. You know, in about probably around 10 years ago, we had over 190,000 members in the South African Police Service. We now have barely over 170,000, despite the fact that the population has increased so much. So the population and police ratio is just getting more worrying by the day. That being said, we also don't have specialized units anymore. You'd remember in 2003, most of our specialized units were disbanded in Jackie Celebi's era and when he was the national commissioner. And we never saw a return of this. And what basically happened is that most of those experienced specialized cops, and specifically detectives, were actually then sent to work in stations, and they were basically absorbed, and it became very frustrating. It still is, because then you have someone with a specialized focus, say, for example, on anti-hijacking or gang-related crime, something like that. And the next moment, that person is handed 200 or 300 dockets, and they say to them, there you go, you are now a normal station detective. And it not only breaks the morale, but it obviously decreases service delivery. So that's issue number one, I guess, and two. And then after that, you know, we have the issue of quality training of new intakes in the police, and that is certainly on the decrease too. It makes it sound horrific. I think the picture that I'm sketching is one that isn't something to be excited about, but, and there's an important but, is that we are seeing a turnaround from communities that are saying that we are going to better organize ourselves, we are going to mobilize within the framework of legislation against crime. And then obviously on a municipal level, we're seeing increasing types of law enforcement advancement programs, like, for example, in Cape Town that led the way with it, but where local authorities are saying, but we need to change the status quo. We can't wait for national government to do it. So I guess that's a positive, and it's something that I'm a firm supporter of.
We also seem to have a problem, a lack of trust between communities and the South African Police Service. That's got to be a factor. How can that be rebuilt?
Yeah, it's obviously going to take time. One would need results. It's a very frustrating point, because we have this lack of trust and community saying SAPS don't do anything. But just in the past week, I mean, I'm aware in Nelson Mandela Bay a few times too recently, where cops do act, and when they show up, they are stoned by the community. So people complain about SAPS, but then when SAPS do what they need to do, then they get either chased away or they get attacked by community members. So it's a difficult situation. I think, in general, it is true that trust in police is at an all-time low. they would have to show results. Something that I'm a firm believer of is that there should be an integrated or synchronized strategy of some sort between the prosecuting authority, rather Department of Justice, and the South African Police Service. And I believe if this is done, then we might have a better chance of actually seeing convictions, etc. At the moment, the two don't work together. They work in silos. The one wants to fill the court role and the other one wants to empty the court role. And it basically means that we're not seeing prosecutions and successful convictions like we would like to see it. There's a whole process to it. The other issue is that we have regarding the police is the fact that we really have a situation where the police are leaderless at the moment. South African Police Service basically, in terms of its management or top management, is a political institution and not a policing institution. We have a national police minister that doesn't know the difference between being a minister and being a commissioner, and therefore it blurs the lines on ground level as well. And if we don't change the top level management of the police, we can't expect anything to change on ground level.
It's a complex issue, but people's lives are literally at stake. If we made you king, what would you put in place to move things forward?
So I do a skills audit in the top 20 of the South African Police Service to determine who is there on merit and who is there according to political appointment. Then I would remove the political appointment. And then I would make sure that I've got the right commanders in place on a national level from the provincial. I would zoom in on training so that you not only have a top-to-bottom approach, but a bottom-to-top approach too. See that my training is audited and is at a very high standard. And then I would make sure, and even if it's not small, but to empower specific specialized units. And then lastly, I think to see what we can do to bring back something like the Scorpions. And I think with those four or five basic things, I usually have a list of 18 things, but with those four or five first steps, I really think that in a very short while, we can make a hell of an impact. And we need to empower police too, because I think police often feel like they are blamed for everything. But when they do act, then it's police brutality, or then it's this, and then it's that. So we need to decide what we want. And if I had the opportunity, I would clarify that very well and make sure that good police are empowered and that communities get the support that they need.
Independent crime analyst Ian Cameron joining us on Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann today. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.